Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, Tommy, welcome to TFL's very first podcast, TFL Talking Cars. This is episode one, and if you guys are watching it on YouTube, then this is a preview of the podcast that is available wherever you listen to podcasts. And on today's show, Tommy, we're going to be talking all about off-roaders. Specifically, this week, the new images of the Ford Bronco were leaked, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what we found in those images. We're going to compare it to the Wrangler, to the Defender. And probably the most important thing, Tommy, is since this is a TFL Studios production, we're not going to be swearing, we're not going to be drinking, we're not going to be smoking. This is as family-friendly as you can get, so if you're listening to this with your kids in the car, turn up the radio and let's talk cars, Tommy.
That's right.
Sit back and relax, or keep driving if you're driving. TFL Talking Cars is on the air, the world's most popular car podcast. Okay, maybe not yet, but we're working on it. All right, so big news, of course, this week was that both the Bronco Sport, which is a baby Bronco based on the new Escape, and, of course, the big Bronco images leaked out. And those videos, of course, are available both on TFL Car and TFL Now. But what did we notice about the big Bronco? Let's start with that.
Well, we saw these images courtesy to the Bronco 6G Forum.
Yep.
And there are two images primarily we are discussing. The first one is an image of the front three quarters of the four-door version, and the other image is the side profile of a two-door Bronco. And we notice a lot of things that relate this kind of back to the Jeep Wrangler, an open-top adventure vehicle.
You know what amazes me, Tommy, that actually the new Bronco, at least in that picture, which we think may have not been Photoshopped, but we don't know. It's a little fuzzy. Could have been Photoshopped. So we're kind of walking on thin ice here in some ways. Looks so similar to the Wrangler, right? I mean, you've got the soft top, you've got the big wheels with the beadlock, with the beadlocks, you've got what looks like a removable bumper. I mean, this is a recipe that the Wrangler has gone down for a long time.
That's right. Now, we don't know a lot of the specifics surrounding the Bronco. We think that it's going to be based on the Ford Ranger. We think that it's going to be body on frame, perhaps with a solid rear axle and potentially an independent front suspension. But beyond that, there's not much else we know. And frankly, we don't even know that much.
Well, we do know, or we guess at the fact, that if it is based on the Ford Ranger, it's probably going to have the 2.3-liter turbo in it, which is the same power plant that's in the Ranger, which is actually a very powerful engine. Of course, the Wrangler comes with now three power plants, right? There's the Venerable, which means just, you know, it's been around a long time. Pentastar, that's a V6, 3-liter. Then there is the 2-liter turbo, which we actually owned. Now there is a diesel that you can get in the Wrangler.
Yeah, so 3.6
V6. 3.6, sorry.
Yeah, 3.6 V6, 2-liter turbo, 3-liter diesel are the three options in the Wrangler. And the other vehicle that the Bronco could potentially compete against is the upcoming Land Rover Defender, which has two engine options, a 4-cylinder turbocharged engine and a 6-cylinder turbocharged engine here in the U.S. the six-cylinder being a straight six. So there is a potential that in this Bronco, we may see the 2.3 EcoBoost as well as maybe a 2.7 EcoBoost.
You know what I'm wondering, Tommy? Why are we talking about these vehicles and who are we if you guys are new to TFL? And I think this is a good time to take a little bit of a break and kind of talk about the fact that we're father and son, mm-hmm. The fact that we've been reviewing cars for the last 10 years. We got about 2.5 million subscribers on YouTube with 5 YouTube channels. We also have about 30 million monthly views on our videos. And perhaps more importantly, I've probably driven every new car that there is over the last 10 years. And you've probably sat or driven, because you were too young when we first started this, to actually drive every new car. And more importantly, from kind of our off-road cred, we're based here in Boulder, Colorado, and we've taken pretty much every new car off-road and truck that's out there. So we're really deeply familiar with not just what is coming, but what has been.
That's right, and especially in the off-road world, that's really our passion and where we get a lot of our joy from. So it's really exciting to see this onslaught of new SUVs and off-roaders come to the U.S. here.
Yeah, so tell me, what Jeeps have you owned personally?
Personally, I've had a 91 Jeep Cherokee, but as a company, we've had a 95 Wrangler YJ, we've had a 2016 Wrangler JK, 2019 JL, and now we have a new Gladiator as well. So we've been kind of all over the board with our Wrangler coverage.
Yeah, and you've also, I don't all over the board, I think we've had every Wrangler, driven every Wrangler that there is.
Oh, we had a TJ as well.
Yeah, we had a TJ as well. And then, you know, we're talking about the Bronco today. We also had a 68 Bronco half cab, which is the one that looks like a little pickup truck. And talk about your Scout.
Yep, I had a 61 Scout for a while as well.
Yeah, and Land Rover, we've had a LR2. We now own...
We've had a Discovery 2.
Discovery 2. Now we own an LR3.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've driven the LR4. Mm-hmm. I have not driven the Defender just because it's not available to drive yet, at least for most people. And what else is there? Oh, there's probably some off-roaders we're missing.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of stuff over
the years. Touareg. We still have, right now, the company also has a Touareg, mm-hmm. first generation.
We've had a Raptor, and I don't think people care about the cars we've owned. I think we should get back to the Bronco.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to establish some cred here, dude, so people out there understand that we know what we're talking about. Because let's face it, you know, there's a lot of people who just start talking about stuff and don't have the street cred to back it up. And I want to make sure that people understand that we do have that street cred. So there are three exciting new off-roaders coming, right? Well, there's two exciting new off-roaders coming. There's a Bronco, the baby Bronco, and the Defender. And I guess in this video, in this podcast, that's my video outtake, we should be talking about how the three will compete and stack up against each other. So let's get the baby Bronco out of the way, first and foremost. We saw images of that, and basically, this is what I would like to call a soft roader, because there's, you know, different amounts of off-road ability built into different vehicles, and the current Escape is a small crossover, and what Ford has done, we think, is put on a little bit bigger tire, a little more aggressive tire, added maybe a little bit of ground clearance, given an all-wheel drive system, but it's not something that will directly compete in the let's drive up Everest world. What do you think?
Well, we think that the baby Bronco is more in line with something like a Jeep Compass, maybe the Renegade, perhaps a Subaru Crosstrek. So it's a soft roader for sure, just one designed to look a little bit cooler than, you know, an Echo Sport or an Escape.
Yeah, and the biggest difference between a hardcore off-roader, you know this, and a you know, more of a crossover is the fact that it has a low speed transfer case, right? The fact that you can take that big old lever or button or dial or push button and change the way that the power is distributed from high gear to low gear.
Yep.
And there aren't that many cars that have low speed transfer cases. And for all you Jeep fans, we know a Jeep's not a car, it's a Jeep. It's not a truck, it's a Jeep. But let's just go with car for right now because it's closer to a car than a truck. But you know, there are only a handful of cars actually that have a low speed transfer case. And in the world that we live in, that's crucial to going off-road. And so the cars, in quotes, air quotes, that have it are, of course, the new Bronco will have it.
Maybe.
I think that's pretty certain.
Maybe, yeah. Well, the cars that currently have it, okay?
The Wrangler?
Yep, Jeep Wrangler, Grand Cherokee's available with it.
Yep.
A lot of the full-size SUVs are typically available with it as well.
Because they're based on trucks, which have it?
Yeah, Land Rover Discovery is available with a transfer case.
The G-Wagon?
Yep, Mercedes-Benz G. I think that's...
And the Toyotas, the 4Runner.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Can't forget the 4Runner.
Land Cruiser.
Can't forget the Land Cruiser.
Sequoia.
Yeah. And let's see what other brands are there.
The Nissan Armada has a low-speed transfer case.
Yeah, and most of the trucks have it.
Right.
So, you know, when we're talking about serious off-roaders, I think that's the point of entry. And then let's talk about what you can add to that to make it even more off-road worthy. So, you know, the baby Bronco will probably have, I'm guessing at this, but I think I'm pretty right, an all-wheel drive system versus four-wheel drive, because that's really the difference between all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, having a low-speed transfer case, right?
Yeah.
So the baby Bronco will probably have a system where if you get into, let's say, dirt or sand or snow, it might have a little terrain management button or dial that'll let you pick the kind of surface you're driving in. And then what the all-wheel drive system will do is it'll use the car's ABS to figure out which wheel is spinning and then brake that wheel so it sends power to the wheel that ostensibly has traction. And many, many cars do that, from Subarus to, RAV4s, right? What ends up happening with a lot of cars like that is you basically end up having two open differentials.
Right.
Or more with a Subaru if it actually wants to protect the CVT. So what happens is when you're in a situation with low traction, it tries to send power to the wheel that has traction, but inevitably one will always either not spin or not help you push the vehicle forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially how every traction control system works. Whereas the opposite end of that would be something like a Wrangler or a off-road full-size pickup truck that gives you locking differentials so that if you have a wheel spin, that same speed on each side of the vehicle will get you unstuck. So if you're very articulated, for example, there's no need to worry about spinning, and then grip. It's always going to have four wheels turning at the same speed if it's a front and rear locking diff.
Yeah, so there are really only two vehicles that have three locking diffs right now, the G-Wagon and the Wrangler.
Nope, and the ZR2.
And the ZR, well, let's talk about cars, not trucks. We'll leave the truck conversation to Andre, so I don't want to go into trucks.
Okay.
But two cars that have three locking diffs. In the Wrangler, if you put it into low range, then it locks the center diff, which means that the power is distributed from the motor 50-50 to the front wheels and 50% to the back wheels, give or take.
Well, it kind of acts like a locking center,
right?
But it's not a center diff.
But it does that in essence.
Right.
And the G-Wagon does the same thing. So if you push that locking center diff, it'll lock the center diff so that the power goes 50-50. Now, then you can also, in a Wrangler and a G-Wagon, lock the front diff and lock the rear diff. In other words, lock the rear wheels and lock the front wheels so that now 50% of the power is going to the front, the 50% is going to the back, and then 25%, theoretically, is going to the right wheel, left wheel in the front, right wheel, left wheel in the back, and inevitably you end up with a situation where all four wheels are propelling the car forward and are spinning.
Yep.
Which is ideal.
Which is ideal, that's right.
Well, it is ideal unless you could be in a situation like dry pavement where the vehicles start to crab, because when a car goes around a corner, one of the wheels has to actually spin faster than the other one, right? The outside wheel has to cover a further distance than the inside wheel, and if you've got all four locked, it'll start to crab because it doesn't allow for that.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. You're like a professor over there. Just chill out a little bit. Good God, this is fun. You're worried that I'm going to say, he's my son, he's worried I'm going to say something silly.
Right.
All right. So that's, you know, a vehicle with a locking center, rear, and a front diff. And I'm hoping that the new Bronco has that same ability. So it'll be one of three cars that have that. You seem very stunned. Like, you don't think it's going to have a locking front diff? You think it'll only have, I'm definitely going to have a locking rear diff.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to have a locking front diff.
Okay, that's fair. Well, why not?
Well, because the Ranger doesn't have a locking front diff, and I think it's going to be largely based on the Ranger.
But it's competing against the Wrangler. So yeah, that's already in the off-road world, like, to hardcore enthusiasts, like, hey, one hand's tied behind my back because I don't have the locking front diff.
Yeah, but I think, you know, from the pictures we've seen, it looks like this new Bronco is going to be an independent front suspension vehicle. And typically, independent front suspension vehicles don't have locking front diffs, except for the Colorado ZR2. So I think that is...
Again, leave that to Andre.
I know, but you have to talk about it because we're talking about vehicles.
We're talking about cars. We're talking cars.
You can't call a Wrangler a car. A Wrangler is in no means a car.
I said it was a Jeep, dude.
Right.
We know that. So let's talk about the difference between independent front suspension and solid axles, which is basically... So the old G-Wagon had, just like the Wrangler, had solid axles front and rear.
Right.
And what's the advantage of that? How do those work? Why don't you explain that?
So when you have solid axles, basically both wheels on either side of the vehicle are locked together in one plane, which is great for articulation. So when one falls in the hole, the other one in theory is going to stay on the ground. Or when one goes in the air, the other one's going to be pushed down onto the ground. Whereas independent suspension vehicles, each wheel has its own essentially plane of motion. So basically what that means is that when one wheel moves, the other wheel is unaffected, which is exactly what you want when you're going desert running, for example, or even on pavement, because if you hit a hole with one wheel, it's not going to affect the other side of the vehicle. The downside of that is when you're rock crawling, you're going to be putting wheels in the air more often because they're just hanging out by themselves.
Yeah, so we think that the new Bronco is going to have independent front suspension. Once again, the Wrangler is going to have solid axles front and rear. And the new G-Wagon, which came out about a year ago, went from solid axles to independent front suspension. The 4Runner has had it for a long time.
Right, that's exactly right. So the advantage is it gives you a much smoother ride on road, and it really improves the vehicle for everyday use, typically a lot more comfortable. The downside is in situations where you want the maximum articulation, you're not going to have it.
You know, I was actually watching a new review of the Wrangler that Fifth Gear did. You remember Fifth Gear? They used to have a show in the UK, and they reviewed the Wrangler, and they gave it, I think, the lowest team test score they've ever given it, and they called it unrefined and just, you know, not well sorted. And that's really kind of the difference between like what Americans perceive of off-roaders and Europeans perceive, right? The magic of the Wrangler has always been that it's like the Harley Davidson of the off-road world, right? That you can completely customize it and make it your own. And it's funny that the Europeans completely don't get that. To them, it's just this very crude, old school, being nice, you know, not sorted, being not nice vehicle that doesn't work on the road.
Yeah, and that certainly has been a criticism in previous years, but especially with the JL that was released in 2018, they've improved it so much for on-road capability that I don't think it's fair to say it's the cabbage cart it once used to be. Because, you know, that YJ we had with leaf springs was pretty terrible on the road, but nowadays the coil-sprung Jeeps are actually pretty good.
And by the way, if you don't know what Tommy's talking about, the internal designation for the new Wrangler is the JL. We used to have an older one. It actually goes YJ, TJ, JK, JL, CJ before the YJ. And so that's what we're talking. We're talking internal codes that the engineers and the designers use when they're designing the new one. And the reason I bring all this up and I bring up the Fifth Gear story is because the Wrangler makes a lot of compromises. First of all, it's a vehicle that has a flat windscreen, right? The windshield is pretty flat. That actually folds down, so it's like driving a brick into the wind. It's not very aerodynamic. It also has removable doors, which is great if you're off-roading, but not so great if you want perfect seals around the doors, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
It also has big, knobby off-road tires, which is great if you're off-roading, but not so great when you're on the road because they give up traction and they're loud. What else does it do? It's also convertible.
Yeah, so the top comes off, you know, roll cage or sports bar, they call it, rather. And it's just not a very great formula for comfort, and that's kind of just been the sacrifice. But the idea with the Bronco, I think, going forward is they want to retain the cool off-road cred, but they also want to bring in some refinement, which I think you can largely argue is exactly what Ford did back in 1966 when the first generation Bronco came out, because the CJ5 was pretty much a tractor, if we're being honest, back in the early 60s. And then when Ford released the Bronco after International and the Scout, they took it up a level with V8s and straight sixes and bench seats and bucket seats as options. And there were a lot of comfort features that were added. And then especially in 78, when the full-size Bronco came out, Ford brought it up a step with comfort. So I think that's what they're going to try to do with this new Bronco, is take a lot of the capability of the Wrangler, but also add some more style.
You're working hard to remember all those numbers, aren't you?
Yeah, style and comfort and refinement.
I think this is a time for a TFL history moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Wrangler came out, obviously, as a Jeep during the Second World War.
Well, back then it was called the CJ.
Right, yeah, it was a Jeep. Right, before that, the Willys Jeep.
Yeah, so the CJ stood for Civilian Jeep.
And it was built by Ford and by, who was the other company?
Willys.
Willys, yeah, yeah. That's right, Willys Overland. And actually, Ford came and had to add capacity because they needed so many of them. And then what happened was a bunch of those were left around the world, including the United Kingdom, where a farmer decided that, you know what, this makes a pretty good farming implement. Right? And designed an aluminum version of it. I know all UK fans are like, Tommy's looking at me like I'm crazy. But that's basically the genesis of the Land Rover.
Well, yes, the head of Rover at the time had a Willys that was left over.
Right.
And he wanted to produce a new vehicle that was affordable after the war. He didn't have access to the steel reserves.
Right, because the steel was used for munitions and such.
So he went with aluminum.
Yep.
And then he built, you know, the famous Huey model, which was the middle seat, basically tractor. That eventually evolved into the Land Rover series, and then the twos and the threes and then the Defenders.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, the stuff that I used to watch on Mutual of Omaha, where you had kind of this really cool off-roader that had the spare tire on the front hood and, you know, the vehicle that conquered Africa and much of, Asia to some extent as well, I think.
So in the meantime, while that was happening in the UK, the Jeep came back to the US after the war, and the civilian Jeep was introduced in two-way form, which was largely like a ranching truck. And then you had the CJ5, and more people started using them as hunting rigs and off-roaders. So they became, you know, wider and more refined with the CJ7 in the AMC era. And while that was happening, actually, way in the early 60s, a little company called International Harvester saw the success of the Jeep and said, hey, we can make that better and more refined. So they came out with the Scout. Which was, you know, more enclosed and more sealed off and more refined. And then Ford saw what International was doing and said, hey, we can do that even better. And
stuffed then, a V8 in it.
Yeah, 66, they basically copied the Scout to the T, stuffed a V8 in it, called it the Bronco.
The story goes that the guy who designed the Scout basically penned that iconic look of what we look at off-roaders now on a napkin, right?
Right.
So the two lights and then the grill in between, mm-hmm. round lights. And that look has stuck. And you're right, Ford came out and said, you know, because Scout was actually doing really well, the original Scout, not...
Yeah, so for International, which was a small company primarily known for their farm all tractors back in the day, it was selling really, really well, but the issue was selling too well that other manufacturers started taking notice.
Ford decided that, you know, that was a four-cylinder, let's stuff the V8, a 289 into it, which is the one we had.
And then, frankly, International didn't have the resources to compete, so they put a turbo on their little four-cylinder Scout.
Which didn't do much.
Which didn't do anything. Yeah. And then eventually they had to put a V8 in it because Ford was doing it. But by that point, the...
It became much bigger.
Yeah. Well, and the writing was on the wall.
And the second Bronco, actually, was still pretty small, the Bronco 2. Right, everybody. The ones you see right now that are all kind of cool and hip and off-roady are the Bronco ones.
Well, so the
and then the Bronco ones. Let me just say this: came out in three body styles. There was, you know, the kind of the station wagon. There was the half cab, which was a little pickup truck, great surf truck, right? You throw a surfboard back there, and then there was actually a roadster, which had no doors and no top.
The funny thing is actually before the Bronco got small again, it got really big.
Yeah, but I wasn't getting there. I was just at the Bronco 2.
Well, that's after the big Bronco.
Right.
So in 78, the Bronco got really big.
Yep.
To compete with the Blazer.
Yep.
And then it got so big, Ford was like, we need to make another small one. So then they came out with the Bronco 2 in the mid-80s to compete with the Jeep at the time, basically.
Yeah, and that didn't work.
No, that was a total disaster.
Yeah, and then finally we get to the OJ Bronco.
Right, which are the full-size Broncos.
And they're all white.
They're not all white.
Yeah, they're all white.
No, they are not all white. And then finally, in the late 90s, after the OJ incident with the car chase, Ford was like, okay, we're gonna end this.
Yeah, and ever since then, people have longed for a new Bronco. And hopefully this year at the Detroit Auto Show, the rumor is we're supposed to see one being unveiled, but because of the coronavirus, Detroit may not happen. I don't know how many people actually want to go and hang out with 4,000 of their best friends in auto show. Chances are that's not going to happen in New York, but hopefully there is a new Bronco coming. So that's kind of the way that the Bronco developed. The Jeep, of course, Wrangler, has pretty much stayed true to its core, right? And the funny thing is, you know, the thing that Jeeps are known for are 7 slotted grills, mm-hmm. but that didn't happen until what, like late 80s or early 90s, right?
It depends on the year.
Yeah.
The CJs, for the most part, all had 7 slots, yeah. except for the early ones. And then they
but it didn't become a thing until recently. You know, it wasn't like a thing back in 1968.
Well, all the CJs had the 7 slots, but like, for example, you get an SJ full-size Cherokee with 21 slots, and the XJs had 8s in some cases.
Right, yeah.
And then the Wrangler came out in 1987 as a replacement to the CJ, which was supposed to be the more refined road
model. And the problem with this, there are two problems. First of all, the CJ, which is, you know, the Levi Jeep, I think of it of that era, the 70s era, right, was a bit of a tractor, and it would flip over on its side by looking at it. It was just flip. Yeah.
In 1980, there was an interesting...
And the YJ saved Jeep, because the YJ, that's the one that everybody hates. It's got the square headlights. Finally made it into more of a real usable vehicle where you could actually take your family and not be afraid of careening off of a cliff and dying and burning in bloody death.
Yeah, even though it was basically the same truck as a CJ7.
It was wider.
Which, yeah, so more or less, but it's basically the same truck. And then, of course, the TJ to get more comfortable. But they basically had the market to themselves for the last couple decades, because the Blazer has been gone. It turned into the Tahoe.
Yeah.
The Bronco turned into the Explorer. And, you know, there hasn't really been that fun recreational vehicle sold here to compete with the Wrangler, really, since Land Rover left in the late 90s with the Defender.
Yeah, and then let's talk about that. You know, Land Rover, of course, kept building new and more. Land Rover defined in some ways the luxury off-road segment, along with Jeep with the Grand Wagoneer. But in Europe, certainly Land Rover defined that. They also split off into what is very confusing to this day are two separate yet unique one company, right? And which is Land Rover / Range Rover.
Mm-hmm.
And the Defender soldiered on for a long time in Europe, I think until like 2 years ago. But it only came to America officially for what, 2 years? What 2 years?
It was like, 95. I want to say 95 and 96.
Yeah, if you're a Defender guys, you'll know, because those are the most valuable ones out there. Defenders have actually, like Broncos, first Broncos, have gone through the roof. So a nice Bronco that was actually originally brought to America and not imported as a gray market truck, car, Jeep, whatever, is worth like $50,000 right now.
Yes, 50 to 80, depending on the...
Yeah, the other ones aren't worth as much because they tend to be right-hand drive versus left-hand drive, and that's very inconvenient when you're going to a Starbucks drive-thru.
Yeah, that is... Yeah, you're right. So some of the import models are not that well.
And I would say, Tommy, that Defender is... You know, I have this theory, right? My theory is that you pick the brand, and then you can easily identify the vehicle that holds that brand's DNA. So if it's Jeep, what is it?
Yeah, the Wrangler.
And if it's Land Rover, it's the Defender.
93 through 97 in the U.S.
Yeah, there you go. And yet Land Rover walked away from that product here in America, and to a large extent in the rest of the world as well, for some unbeknownst reason to me. Just when like overlanding and off-roading became hot, they decided to go what I like to call urban chic, right? So you look at the vehicles that they were building that were off-roaders, and let's talk about the Discovery series, right? Here they were discos until the Disco got such a horrible name that they had to change it to the LRs.
Yep.
And in Europe, they were always LRs, but you start with the LR1 or the Disco 1.
In Europe, they've always been Discoveries, actually.
Right, right.
They've never gone LR.
Right, so you start with the Disco 1, and it's really good off-road. Locking diff, mm-hmm. short wheelbase, approach departure angles are really good. And then by the time you get to the Disco 4, you don't even know whether you have a locking rear diff because it's an option that you have to spec.
Right.
Right? And it became very luxurious. And by the time you get to the Disco 5, you're basically looking at like a vehicle that's more at home cruising Miami or Hollywood than it is cruising Moab.
That's right.
Or at least looks that way.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And the design language also became much more urban chic, right? It became much more rounded, much less square jaw, much more... I don't know, stylish and less rugged. That's why finally, and I really mean finally, when the new Defender was unveiled last year, and it's coming hopefully to a dealership near you by the end of this month or maybe beginning of April, everybody is, you know, very excited because finally they've gone back to some off-roading routes. So let's talk about the Defender now. What do we know about the new Defender?
So the new Defender is coming to the U.S. in two forms, the 110, which is the four-door extended wheelbase model, and then the 90, which is the short wheelbase, kind of two-door looking spec. Here in the U.S., they all have air suspension, and there's actually two different engines available depending on how much you want to spec. So the four-door starts at just shade under $50,000, and it comes standard with a two-liter Ingenium, it's called, engine. But then if you want to step up to the more powerful power plant, you're going to have to pay extra for the 3-liter inline six. So the 2-liter makes 296 horsepower. The 3-liter makes 395 horsepower. Other specifications include steel wheels, the standard, which are really cool. And then a number of, they're called specification packages, but basically they're cool off-road or on-road packages. So there's two different trims to start out with, and then there's also what was it called, like the Explorer pack with the snorkel.
Yeah, they did a really good job. Basically, you go on their website and you pick, hey, I want to go off-roading, and then it steers you down kind of this path where you might actually. We just got breaking news, Tommy. That's pretty incredible. New York Auto Show delayed until August over coronavirus concerns. There we have it.
There you have it.
Right in the middle of our podcast, we get news about the New York Auto Show.
Yep.
It makes perfect sense. But let's get back to our regular visual programming. So you go down the website and you pick, and then they've done a really good job in making it very adventure-friendly. So you could do things like put on, I wish it were actually aluminum metal cladding on the thing.
Or like the diamond plating?
Yeah, but it's not. It's really plastic.
Yeah, they've got diamond plating on the hood, and then there's also like a snorkel.
But it's not plastic diamond.
Well, sure, yeah.
And you can get a snorkel.
Roof racks. There's also urban packages, like if you want an urban model. And country packs for those looking for, I don't know, playing out in the country. Very European thing to say, but it is cool how they're optioning out the Defender in different ways depending on how you want to spec it out.
Yeah, so this year we're going to have three incredible off-road vehicles that are going to go head-to-head, which is the Wrangler, the JL, which we've done a lot of stuff on. If you want to look at our videos, oh gosh, we've taken it to Moab, we've taken it and compared it to about every other vehicle there is, including the G-Wagon and the 4Runner. You're going to have the new Defender, you're going to have the new Bronco, and of course you're going to have the 4Runner, which also plays in that space, kind of soldiering on in the TRD Pro version.
Yeah. And Nissan has nothing now since they killed the Xterra, which is a shame.
Which is a shame, yeah. Just when overlanding and off-roading got really hot, they decided that they didn't want to keep building it.
Exactly.
Maybe with the new Frontier coming. No, I'm sorry, Andre. I know I'm talking about trucks. There'll be a new Xterra. It would be really cool to see that.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But it is great to see, you know, this huge wave of off-roading coming because, frankly, that's been the hot segment in anything. Subaru built the Impreza. It sold pretty well. Then they put a little bit of a lift on it and cladding, and they built the Crosstrek, which blew Subaru out of this world in terms of sales. Same thing with like their Jeep Renegade. I mean, any time you can make a vehicle even slightly off-roady, it's going to sell really well. So these serious models like the Wrangler and the G and the Bronco, it's great to see they're still around.
Yeah, and so we've got this thing called the TFL ORI Scale or Off-Road Index, right?
Yep.
And basically, the Wrangler right now is at the top of that because it has all the stuff you need to be seriously off-roading, and not just stuff that looks good, but stuff that actually functions. So things that we judge on the ORI scale are like stuff we've talked about.
So skid plates, approach angle, departure angle, breakover angle, tires,
ground clearance.
Gearing, ground clearance.
And one of the things we haven't talked about are our disconnectable sway bar. So let's talk about that. There are very few vehicles that actually have disconnectable sway bars. So when you go down the road and you make a turn, most cars have sway bars so that the body doesn't sway too much when you're going around the turn. But if you want complete articulation off-road, right, you want that tire to be touching the ground, you don't want those sway bars.
Right.
And so with the Jeep Wrangler, you can actually disconnect the front sway bar.
Yeah, the other vehicle is the Power Wagon.
That's the only other one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only other one. And both of which are solid axles.
Right.
So typically rare to see it on an independent suspension vehicle. Perhaps the Bronco will have it. The Defender does not have it.
Yep.
And the other thing I hope the Bronco will really have, which we haven't talked about too, is winch. So some models now are coming standard with optional winches. So from the factory, you can buy, you know, not to talk trucks, but the Power Wagon and even Tremor now with a winch. Maybe the new Bronco will be available with a winch as well.
Yeah. By the way, the Tremor is available with the winch from the dealership.
Is it not factory?
Yeah, not factory.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
In case you guys are truck guys out there or gals, I don't want you calling us on that one. Let's talk about the three vehicles and kind of talk about where the Bronco, as far as we know, excels and where it falls short. So if you look at the Wrangler as kind of the highest level of off-road trim, because it's got the most goodies for off-roading, right?
Right.
Then I think, as far as we know, the Bronco might fall just below that.
Okay.
Right, because it will have good, hopefully, approach angles. The pictures we've seen looks like it's got at least 33s, maybe 35s.
Yeah.
It looks like it's even got, like, the option for beadlocks. And by the way, beadlocks are just basically a way to keep the tire
from falling off the wheel,
yeah, which is not good when you're off-roading. And the Defender, you know, we know a lot about it. It's basically built on the Discovery 5, the newest Discovery platform. And so we know that it won't have a locking front diff.
It does have an optional locking rear diff.
It does have an optional locking rear diff.
And then the Explorer pack gives you a bunch of underbody protection and snorkels and the roof rack.
And, you know, it's funny because here in America, we don't necessarily, at least outside of maybe Georgia or Florida, we don't do a lot of water crossing, but yet in Australia, South Africa,
yeah, it's all water crossing.
It's all water crossing. So water fording, or how deep it can go, is a big deal, especially in places like Australia where you get these sudden storms and stuff floods. Here it's not such a big deal. So the Defender actually may have the highest water fording numbers out there.
That could potentially be true. Now, I don't think you can compare them necessarily side by side, because I think they're all targeted at different things.
Okay, so how do you mean?
The Wrangler, especially the Rubicon, is for the Rubicon Trail, which is old school rock crawling. Let's see if we can get over these boulders. The Defender, in my mind, is more of an adventure vehicle, more of an overlander. Let's cross continents on dirt. Where I think the Bronco, especially if they do come out with a Raptor trim, is going to be more of a desert runner. So more, let's see how fast we can get across this desert. You know, 80, 90 miles an hour, suspension working hard and fast. So I don't think one is necessarily better or worse than another. I just think that they're all different, and they all excel at different things.
All right, let's talk numbers, because everybody wants to know numbers, and we'll talk about the numbers that we know. Price, let's start with that. The Wrangler starts at about 27, and you can spec that bad boy out to probably 60 plus.
Yeah, the Defender starts at 49.9.
So it's more expensive.
Right.
And you can probably spec it up to close to 100, I bet, if you get all.
Yeah, it's like 90, 85, 90 for sure.
And I'm guessing the Bronco will probably undercut the Wrangler, so it may start below 27. And it may go not quite as high. So I think if you want, I'm just guessing at this, numbers, the vehicle has not been released yet, but numbers on this one are not exact. But that's my guess. How about fuel economy and horsepower?
Let's see. So the most powerful Wrangler is going to be, in terms of horsepower, the 3.6 liter, that's 285 horsepower. In terms of torque, though, the Wrangler diesel is by far the most popular. It's like over 400 pound-feet of torque, which is crazy. And then you, of course, in the Defender lineup, 395 horsepower on the straight six Defender. So in terms of all-out horsepower, the Defender is definitely going to be the most powerful, at least compared to the Wrangler. If, for example, they go for...
Not if you get a diesel Wrangler.
Yeah, but horsepower.
Oh, torque.
Yeah, torque. The diesel Wrangler is by far the most torquey.
Yep.
Right? Now, Ford Ranger, I think, is a good number to go off of. Because if, in fact, it is using the 2.3 out of the Ford Ranger, that truck develops 270 horsepower, 310 pound-feet of torque, which I think is a very fair number for a potential Bronco. So I think it's going to slot right in between a 2-liter Wrangler and a 3-liter Defender.
Yeah, and how about fuel economy? We know the Wrangler numbers, right?
Yeah, the 2-liter is, I think, low 20s.
Yeah, about give or take.
The
most fuel-efficient Wrangler is a new diesel, which is also...
29 on the highway.
Which is, I think, a $4,000 option, so it's not cheap.
It's really expensive, right?
Yeah, so that's 29 on the highway. We don't know the Bronco. We could kind of guess at it based on what the Ranger does, and that's probably, what, mid-20s?
On the highway, yeah.
And then the Defender, I don't think have they announced their EPA numbers?
I don't know, let me check.
Yeah, we'll check while you're looking at that. But certainly the most fuel efficient, I think, still is going to be by far the diesel Wrangler. It also probably will tow the most, I'm guessing, potentially. So what?
The diesel Wrangler is way low.
Is it
3,500?
Because it doesn't have enough payload.
The Defender is over 7,000.
Wow.
The Defender is really, really high.
Yeah, and the Bronco, let's say the Bronco.
I think it's going to be less than 7, more than 3.5.
So let's call it 5.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about when we're towing. And then, you know, seating, obviously they're all two-row vehicles, so we're looking at five people. I don't think there's going to be a defender that has a third row.
I think that's not... No, there is a defender with a three-row.
Is there really?
Yep, for sure. Yeah, there's actually a...
Like a disco, basically a Discovery.
Well, there's a five-seater, yeah. A six-seater with
yeah.
two
Oh, that's right. Benches. Yeah, the cool thing about the Defender is that you can get one where you can actually put a person in the middle seat in the front row.
And then there's also a 2-3-2, so there's also a seven-seater.
So there you go.
So the Defender is going to be the most... capability in terms of hauling people.
And then the one thing that everybody wants to talk about all the time is reliability, huh?
Yep.
And that really depends on whether you're a fan of the brand or not a fan of the brand. Let's start with Wranglers. Wranglers have been relatively reliable, but having said that, ours wasn't the one that we had. We had a JL for about 6 months. We had some pretty bad issues with it. But then we had one for a year, and it was fine. So, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give a Wrangler about a 5.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah, I'm just saying.
All right, yeah.
All right. You know, people out there are probably screaming, it's an FCA product, you know?
I think, especially reliability, is so dependent on how you treat the vehicle and what you use it for. And to be fair,
we do a lot of testing, but we don't do reliability testing.
Well, we just don't have the vehicles for long enough to do the testing.
We usually get them for a week, unless we buy them. The Defender... Oh my. We've had a bunch of Land Rovers.
And they've been perfect.
But there's a reason Land Rovers are dirt cheap and depreciate like rocks. And that is because, let's talk about the Disco 2 we had, right? Ours was fine, but pretty much every critical failure you can get on a vehicle, that one had. So it would blow its head gasket.
Yes, yeah, so they had gasket
issues. Almost every one of them blew head gaskets at Disco 2.
Yeah, they had head gasket issues.
Three Amigos.
Yeah, they had ABS issues, drive shaft issues that would take out the transmission. But that was a long time ago. Lightning Land Rover has improved dramatically since 2004 when we had ours.
You know, I'm not sure about that. The market hasn't at least priced that in because used Land Rovers are still dirt cheap, especially Range Rovers, because what happens is when they break, especially any car with air suspension, it gets very expensive to fix.
Yeah, that's true. And then, but talking about Ford, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Ford is super dependent on the model. So, like, their F-Series trucks are very reliable.
Yep.
And then they came out with a power shift automatic in their small cars, so Fiesta and Focus, and those were a disaster.
Yeah, so I guess if you want the most reliable one, go for the Forerunner. I think that one's been around the most. It's been the most sorted. It's been pretty much... developed over the years to become pretty bulletproof. So if that's something you're after, that might be the one in that category to get.
But what we really need is a new FJ Cruiser. That's what we really need.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation that we're having. And in the final minutes that we have before we wrap this up, Tommy, if it were your money, which of those three would you get?
I don't know. I haven't driven two of them.
I know, but I mean, I'll ask you this question again on episode 52. This show is going to be weekly, so a year from now, like, you can give me a more comprehensive answer. But right now, I'm going to give you, let's say, I'm going to give you $50,000, which should buy you, hopefully, every one of those. You may have to add some money if you want to get the Defender, but you could certainly get a nice Rubicon Jeep, and you could certainly get a Bronco for that.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I don't know which of the three.
What's the most lustworthy, I guess I'm asking?
Oh, lustworthy?
What's the one that, like, hey, this is one that really, like, you know, I want to see under the Christmas tree?
Well, I'm a big Land Rover guy, so probably the Defender right now, but I think the Bronco's going to be really cool when they finally debut it.
Yeah, and I'm really torn. I wish I could tell you one. You know, it depends on what day I wake up.
Well, you didn't answer it either.
I'm telling you, I'm serious. One day I wake up and I'm like, I would love to have a Land Rover. Defender, the next day I wake up and it's like the Wrangler all the way, and then, you know, a new Bronco is going to be so cool that you got to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking into kind of, you know, we've been following the car industry for 10 years now and looking kind of into our time machine, I have a bad feeling that, especially with everything that's happening in the world right now, that the Defender and even the Bronco are too late and coming out, right? The big overlanding craze probably took hold almost 10 years ago where social media hit, right? Everybody was like, hey, I'm taking a selfie of myself in front of the Grand Canyon. Isn't this great? Hashtag van life. And I think that's what drove a lot of this overlanding, you know, off-roading craze. And now with the economy looking a little bit shaky, it may be just a case of, you know, too little too late for both the Bronco and the Defender. I hate saying that because I really want them to succeed, but I kind of feel like they're going to be expensive, and maybe that kind of hit when iron is hot time has come and gone.
Well, we'll see.
That the best you can see?
Honestly, I don't know. I think we have to wait until Defender and Bronco hit the market before we can really judge what the public thinks of them.
It's not what the public thinks. It's how much money the public has in their pockets. I think people love them. The question is, are you willing to spend the money? You know, I think the other thing that is more hopeful and is certainly true is the Wrangler needs competition, dude. I mean, you know, a competition makes things better, makes things less expensive, and brings out the best.
Yeah, I agree on that completely. I mean, I think the Wrangler certainly has improved in this new generation, but there's more that could be done.
Like what?
Well, it's still way too expensive for what you get. Yeah. It still doesn't have a lot of the standard active safety gear that you'd come to expect.
One star in European crash testing.
Yeah, because it doesn't have, you know, standard pre-collision avoidance and
autonomous braking.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely a place where it can be improved.
You know, the one thing I hope the Bronco does is they take a page out of Wrangler's notebook and they let us customize it. So, you know, I mean, what makes the Wrangler such a ingenious vehicle is it's like a Harley, right? You can go out there and you can build your own, literally. Everything is available for it that lets you customize it. And so when you're out there, like looking at Wranglers at the Easter Jeep Safari, no two are the same.
I love the Wrangler. I also don't think the engines are particularly that great. I don't think there's one engine that's the one to
yeah, there
to
is.
Buy.
There is a great engine.
What is it?
The Hemi.
Yeah, that's not, once again, not in the Wrangler. So there's definitely room for improvement there. But let us know. You know, head over to tflcar.com and at least drop us a comment. What do you think of the new Bronco? Are you excited for it? Is it something on your list?
Yeah, let me do a little before we close. Tell me a little promotion for the Fastlane car, the Fastlane truck, the Fastlane now, the Fastlane off road. This is the entire TFL family of YouTube channels.
TFL Classics.
TFL Classics, which you run. Speaking of TFL Classics, tell me, what are you doing with that old ML?
I'm not sure yet. So we've got some more videos coming on the ML, the Mercedes ML. And we've got a bunch of fun stuff coming up around our 1989 F-350. So we have this old project truck. It's a diesel. We call it Project Gunsmoke. So
because it's a smoky diesel.
Yeah, be sure to check out TFL Classics for all that cool stuff.
And then over at TFL Car, you and Tommy will be heading off to the Easter Jeep Safari, looking at the annual.
Hopefully
if it still happens, looking at the annual concepts that Mark Allen, the head designer for Jeep, has built this year. I've heard tell that they've spent a lot of money and built some really cool ones. That's supposed to take place around Easter. We don't know what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun stuff going on. So definitely subscribe to TFL Car and TFL Truck for all the latest and greatest in new car reviews.
Yeah, once again, thanks for listening. And come back next week when we are doing a little bit more talking cars,
right,
with me and Tommy, and hopefully you've learned something, because I certainly have, Tommy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, see you guys next time. Ciao.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.